Very good. Moda ani lefanecha. I am thankful. Okay. Many ask the question, wouldn't we just say todah rabba? Thank you, God. But this language of moda ani, I am thankful, is interesting. It's strange. So I had the following chiddush. I don't know. I haven't found it safer, but it makes a lot of sense. And when we're saying moda ani lefanecha, that is like the definition of my day. My day is I am grateful. The essence of who I am, the essence, my goal for the day is to look at every opportunity to be grateful and like just run with it. To be grateful to people, to be grateful to God, to be grateful in every single way. That is the goal of a yid. Okay? And I don't know, imagine if we walked around, we were on college campus, and every time someone saw a Jew, they thought, oh, that's the thanker lady. She's always saying thank you, and she's always so genuine. Like, wouldn't that be a very different world than people thinking whatever they think about Jews? But a Jew, a Yehudi, is modani, is gratitude, is wow. Life is good. Life is amazing. Okay? So keep that in the back of your head. And I want to go to a very classic, famous Hanukkah question, but it's going to take us to really new ways that we probably haven't learned before. The question is on the source number 2. The question is, my Hanukkah, what are we celebrating on Hanukkah? Or let me put it differently. What's the main, what is the main event that we celebrate when we celebrate Hanukkah? What's it all about? What's the big deal? We all know there are really two things.
The miracles and the war.
The miracles of?
The 8 days of oil.
That's one miracle. Excellent. Of the oil which lasted 8 days. And what's the other miracle?
The winning of finding the jug of oil.
Yeah. Okay, everyone got it?
Everyone has it.
Yep.
And that the finding of the oil is number one. What's the second one?
Then having the oil last.
That's one. We got that. Oil is number
the war.
That's all one.
The
no.
winning.
Another one from Blanco.
Winning the war.
That's what I said.
Oh, I just maybe didn't hear you.
I said it.
No, I said I pointed you and said excellent. You were correct.
Thank
I was
you.
Saying
you.
Yes. Hi. Yes. Can we continue learning? Come join us.
I gave something to eat. Like a bar.
We just learned in Rosh Hashanah. Stop taking us. Someone, do you remember me?
Why?
Okay, we're continuing. We're continuing. Listen, you're welcome to join us, but my time is very short, and we need to learn Torah. Okay. So listen, we know we're celebrating both, but I guess the question is, what is the main miracle? What is the main thing that we celebrate on Hanukkah? What do you think?
The oil.
The oil. Why do you think that's the main thing?
It was a miracle from Hashem.
It was a miracle from Hashem. That's true.
It was
pretty cool.
The war, winning the war.
But on the other hand, maybe winning the war. What?
No, it's winning the war because it's the less obvious miracle.
Yeah.
And so, hold on.
Should I say it? You still there you go. You remember when I said it?
Okay.
We'll
help each other out.
I just lost it.
Oh, yeah.
Hashem is obviously going to help you. Like, winning the war is so obvious because, like, there were 10 people, 10, like, 18-year-olds winning the war. So, obviously, like, Hashem had to help us. But the oils, like, Hashem's like saying, like, I love you. Like, I don't obviously have to make the oil last, but, like, I want to show you, like, give you this little miracle. And, like,
I learned the opposite. I learned the war was less obvious because
that's so
funny. It made so much sense that I learned it. Hold on.
Who was that from our boss's
class?
We'll get back to it. Don't worry. We'll go all that. So you could say that the Hanukkah miracle, it's like this. What is the more significant historically? What is
the war?
The war.
Because the Jews
He got our religion. We got our sovereignty over the land of Israel. That made a big difference in millions of people's lives. That was a crazy, earth-shattering phenomenon. The fact that a little jug of oil lasted a really long time, I mean, it's cool. It's awesome. But like, why is that such a big deal? And yet, surprisingly, what do we highlight most of the time? What's the big event of Hanukkah? We light the candles, which celebrates the miracle of the oil.
Okay.
So we make the big deal about the oil, but the real big deal is the war, and that's kind of strange. So what's that all about? Why are we making such a big deal about the oil? Instead, here's a great idea. Let's take those little soldiers, you know, the green ones that you buy at the store, and we'll make little Maccabean ones, and we'll, like, make a war, and the Maccabees will beat the other ones, and that would be an amazing way to celebrate Hanukkah. What an amazing war.
Yeah,
right?
Because they don't celebrate every single war that they've won.
So that's another question, okay? What makes this war more important than other wars?
Okay,
that's true. That's a good point. Although it was a pretty amazing war to take out the world power and actually beat them a bunch of...
Okay, but we also did a lot of things like that.
There's a lot of miracles, Jake. Open up Tanakh, there's a lot of things. So what's so significant about this particular war?
Because the menorah was... a vessel in the base of Mikdash. So, and to make our houses kind of like, you know, to have like a model of a very special vessel that also acknowledges one of the great miracles that happened during Hanukkah is amazing.
Very nice. So that's a beautiful explanation.
It's kind of stupid to all dress up as soldiers and like play fight. Like,
my, that would be so fun.
No.
Me too, though. But,
I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you say a bracha during the war because it was less obvious in that it's clear that, like, oil lasting 8 days is obviously from Hashem because it's, like, basically impossible. But, like, winning a war, even if you're outnumbered, that doesn't necessarily have to be a miracle. That could just be, like, based on strategy.
That could be
Teva.
That could be natural.
So that could be natural. So that's why it's like a less obvious mitzvah, but you have to look. I mean, less obvious miracle, but you are supposed to look
the
at
the CHM in the less obvious.
You're supposed to look at everything as a miracle. I think it was Ni'ima. That's who said it because we were talking about how you're supposed to look at everything as if it's a miracle. And there was a quote from Albert Einstein that said something like that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, yeah. So we're gonna get back to all of it. Amazing. And the amazing thing about Torah is you could, A, hear the same question and hear 10 different beautiful answers because Torah is so deep and learn new angles. You could even hear the exact same shiur with the exact same answer and you'll still derive new insights and new ideas and new chizuk. And some of that might happen tonight because I can't predict what the other teachers are going to teach. But it's okay because you're definitely going to learn some new things. Okay. So the truth is, we celebrate both. We celebrate primarily the candles. Look in the Gemara. My Hanukkah, the Tanu Rabbanan, B'chavei B'kislev, Yome, the Hanukkah, Tamanya, Inun, the Lo, the Mitzvah, 8 days. Evan, Shenichnas, V'yivanim, Ha'echal, Timu, Kolash, Manim, Tebe'echal. They impurified all of the oils in the Heichal. U'shigav, Ramalcha, Bet, Chashamayim, V'nizchim, Badku. And when the Chashamayim won, Badku, Lomatu, El'pachachat. They only found one jug of oil. Okay, so the stress is not the fact that we won the war, according to the Gemara. The stress is the fact that this miracle of the oil lasting for a very long time. On the other hand, if you look in our Al Hanisim prayer, which we say every day of Hanukkah, what do we say? Look in the Siddur. Bimei Matadiyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Kishamdu malchus yavanu yishal am chayishal lashkicham taratecha lavirem mechur kertanecha. Those Greeks wanted to make us forget our Torah. You fought for us, you avenged for us. You help us beat those Greeks. So in the Al-Nisim prayer, we do stress more the war. Okay, so clearly both are important, both are part of our tradition. Yet, I'd say the surprise, it's not a surprise because we're so used to it, but if you were honest and never heard of that before, you were like, why do we make such a big deal about the little oil thing and not about the war, which seems to be much more significant. Okay, so in order to answer this question, we're going to basically go on a little bit of a journey and try to unravel where have we heard this idea of fire, of candles, of light in the Torah, because through that we will understand the symbolism. One of the ideas that the fire of Hanukkah represents. Okay? There's many symbolisms, many beautiful ideas. We're going to present one idea tonight and then somehow bring it back to our lives. So let me ask you all, where's the first time in the Torah which we encounter candles? Candles of fire, i.e. light.
The caves.
Excellent. So that's a good guess.
What?
Because it is one of the first times you encounter fire, and that's mentioned in the Midrash. It's a beautiful Midrash. But I asked for in the Chumash itself, in the Torah itself. We'll get back to that. But even before, I'm talking about fire, light in the Torah. In the creation of the world. In the creation of the world. When God creates the world, what's the first thing that God creates?
Well, he said fire.
Light.
Well, I said fire, and then I modified it and said light. Light is a type of fire. Fire, if you think about it, light is a big bang. It was a big explosion of energy. Okay? By the way, maybe you've heard this, maybe you haven't. What's the 25th word of the Torah?
Light.
Or. That's pretty cool, eh? Pretty amazing. You guys know everything. Awesome. Okay.
That's so cool. I didn't know that.
Okay. You're going to have some more fun allusions in this class. Okay. So light, the first thing that God creates in the world is light. And that's pretty deep. That's a statement. The first way that God interacts with mankind, with the world, is light. Light is his way of reaching out and saying, hey, I'm here. That's how the Torah says it. But the first thing is light. And that's pretty cool. What is the second time? We've already alluded to that in Midrash of Rachel and how her candles lasted the whole week. And then Rivka, also her candles lasted the whole week. Rivka, I apologize. Right? And, yeah. And that's how we knew that she was meant to be the Jewish mommy.
Was
because
it Shabbat candles?
Yeah, her Shabbat candles lasted the whole week.
Shabbat candles aren't, it's
not
in the Torah, right?
It's rabbinical, exactly. So that's an interesting. If it's rabbinical, then how could Sarah and Rivka be lighting these candles? The rabbis were way later. So actually, I'm discussing that in my Shana Betz here, but perhaps the idea that is trying to convey that there's something so deep about lighting Shabbos candles that we can't even imagine a Jewish mommy like Sarah or Rivka without lighting Shabbos candles. That somehow they intuited, they were deeply connected to this idea of Shabbos candles, even though it was only decreed later in Jewish history by the rabbis themselves. But this is a deep part of what it means to be a Jewish woman.
I sadly realized, though, that I don't know where the idea of Shabbos candles or challah or
okay.
I don't know.
So we'll keep learning. Shabbos candles come from the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, when it asks why do we do Shabbos candles, it says for shalom bais.
Is it called?
Because people used to trip all over each other and they didn't have light, they didn't have electricity. So you have to have Shabbos candles so that you don't trip all over each other. That's the simple reason. You are not supposed to read by the Shabbos candles, but you are supposed to benefit from the Shabbos candles. It's Hanukkah candles that you're not supposed to benefit from. In Lanu Rishud, the Histam
Eshbam. Do you have light from Shabbos candles?
Yes, you're supposed to. You have to benefit from them. And if you want to learn more about this, I have a shiur about this in 25 minutes.
Oh.
All about the topic. So you're very welcome to join. That's right. The Shana Bet Shiur, you can come. I won't tell anyone. Slash.
Sick invite.
Wait, is it Shomer
Mizachar?
Is that why
there's two? That's one of the illusions as to why we do Shomer Mizachar. It's not the reason, but it's one of the nice ideas behind Shomer. Because technically, you fill your Shabbos candles even with one light, or even with electric light. So you don't have to have two. Crazy thing, when you learn Torah, you discover the wildest and crazy. That's part of my halachic myth, Shia. So that we're all getting blended together.
Yeah, you know what?
Together.
I also just learned that for Hanukkah, you could just light one candle, every
that's right.
night.
Technically, you could take a little tea light and light one light, and that's it. You're done.
Every night.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to do that.
Well, we, Am Yisrael, have taken upon ourselves to be Mahadrim and Mahadrim, do it in the most beautiful way.
Yeah, lighting's really different for, your sect of Judaism, Chabad, so it's I have to light two candles. Well, because
there are many different costumes.
Yeah.
Chabadnikim are very into their candles. That's
Yeah,
no,
if you miss lighting one candle, you have to add it on for the rest of your life.
That's not a Chabad thing. That's in the Ramah. That's in the Shulchan Aruch. But
the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, but the Panini Halacha writes that nowadays, if you accidentally forgot, you wouldn't have to light another candle.
Why not?
Why? Because we have electricity. So technically, we've already fulfilled the idea of Shabbos candles. So if you had electricity in your house and you forgot to light candles, we won't punish you and make you light that candle for the rest of your life. That's only according to the Ramah.
The rest of your life.
Technically, if you forgot to light Shabbos candles once, you're supposed to light a Shabbos candle the rest of your life. Like
if,
another, an additional candle.
Family of five.
Right, so now you do six.
Do five, you have to light six for the rest
if you forgot.
And then you forget the next one.
As a punishment, so you shouldn't forget to light Shabbos candle. But we're so off topic. But that's okay. It is Torah, too.
Well,
as long as it's Torah, it's
okay. It only, like, if you're young and when you're not married yet and you forget, you just light one additional candle, but it really applies once you get married.
Yeah, only one. The halach is only when you're married. Correct. Anyways. So fine. So when God created the world, he created with light. Beautiful. Now, the next story in the Torah where God, we interact with light, with fire, with a fire that will not get extinguished. I already heard someone suggest it. I think it was suggested. Where else do we have a fire which will not get extinguished? Ah, that's beautiful.
Oh.
But in the Chumash itself, a story where someone sees a fire which will not get
extinguished.
The burning bush.
That's right.
Oh, I said that.
I know.
Oh, I didn't know that it didn't go away.
Let's read it inside.
Let's read it inside.
It's in Shmot Gimel.
Oh, I thought you meant the fire kept going and the bush didn't burn.
The fire kept going and the bush didn't burn down.
You said that the fire never extinguished.
Wasn't it a big
fire? Also didn't get extinguished.
The fire didn't extinguish.
Neither of them got extinguished.
Yeah.
Neither
the
fire
bush
nor
would
nor
burn, then the fire would eventually.
Neither the fire nor the bush burned.
Go out.
Wait, after Moshe finished talking to the bush, did it ever go out or is it still burning?
Oh, I don't know. I assume it went out eventually.
That would be really scary. So what happened? Did the fire go out or did the bush finally burn?
No, the bush never burned. I don't think.
So
I don't know. It doesn't say, but I'm just
that's
guessing.
That's a little scary. What if it's still?
That would be
what,
crazy.
What if one day you just happen to stumble upon the burning bush?
So we kind of know where, in theory, we kind of know where the burning bush is.
In Egypt?
Nope. And we'll get to that in the morning.
Where
is it? We'll get to there. And very soon, we're going to get there.
He's a tour guide.
Moshe is guiding, walking. And he takes the sheep and he goes to the land of Horeb. He's just hanging around and he gets to this place called Horeb. Where else is Horeb? That's where the Torah was given. Okay? The Torah was given at a place called Horeb too. So it's interesting that it has the same name.
Do we know where Har Sinai is?
We don't know exactly. I mean, it's a mountain range. We don't know specifically where. Vayira malach Hashem elav belabat esh. God, the angel of God, chose Moshe in a fiery bush. Mitoch hasneh, in the sneh. Vayar, and he looks. V'hine, he's asneh bo'er ba'esh. The bush is on fire. V'asneh enenu ukal. And the bush will not be extinguished. Moshe says, Asurana, let me go to the side. I want to see this amazing sight. Madua, why will it not get extinguished? And God calls to him from the bush. Moshe, and he says, behold, here I am. Okay. So, what's the story again? Moshe is wandering and he says, whoa, there's a fiery, a bush that won't get extinguished. I will go look at this bush. And then God reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, that's the story. Everybody got the story? So the question is, of course, if you're God and you want to reveal yourself to Moshe Rabbeinu, why do you do it specifically in this way through a fire that does not get extinguished? Maybe instead have like, you know, a big thunder and lightning and say, I am the Lord. Or why of all ways did God choose to reveal himself specifically through this fire that will not get extinguished? Yeah.
To show that, first of all, he's infinite and that he can't be extinguished. Like, as a, like a metaphor for God.
Right. So that's what Rashi says, that the God and the Jewish people will never be extinguished. There's a lot of symbolism specifically about the bush not getting extinguished. But why fire specifically? What's unique about fire?
It's in our neshama.
It's in our neshama. True.
It's beautiful. It's fearful.
It is fearful. It's also really spiritual. It's almost like something that...
Yeah, it's ceremonial.
Yeah. But it is ceremonial. But you ever wonder why? Maybe it's because of the following reason. Because it's, on the one hand, it's physical. You could see it. On the other hand, it's kind of like beyond this world because
you can't touch it.
It's like there, but like it symbolizes so much more than the physical.
That's why it's in our
neshama. That's in our neshama. That's right. And when you light a candle, it represents the neshama. And God created the world with light, with his fire, because that's the most spiritual thing. Remember, that wasn't a physical light. The physical light came in the fourth day. We're talking about a spiritual light, the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light that God hides away from the tzaddikim in the next world, was the first thing that God created the world with. And that was the way that he shows himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, through this spiritual, fiery light. Okay? Yeah?
Also, in the other class, we also learned that light, like, fire itself is a miracle. So, even though now, today, we just are, fire, candle, whatever, it's a miracle. It's even a miracle that, it can get, lit by oil.
Right.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. Absolutely. 100%. And again, that's my punchline. So
okay.
We're going there. Don't worry. I completely agree with you. But I want to point out something along the way that you might not have ever noticed, which is, I say that on purpose, which is that Moshe, the Torah points out, he's walking and he says, Asura now, I'm going to stop there at the Margadon. I'm going to look at this great sight. Why does the Torah bother to tell us this whole story about how Moshe stops and he sees him and says, I want to look? So perhaps the idea, this is a suggestion of Rabbi Forman, is that if God would have done a big miracle, anyone would have been blown away. But Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu is the type of person that sees a regular thing, like a bush that's on fire, and notices, whoa, it's not burning. That's weird. He bothers to look at it. He bothers to take a second guess. He bothers to notice these little things. And because of that, he ultimately is zoche to be mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to receive God. But if he wouldn't have noticed those little details, then he wouldn't have ever received the God's word. God wouldn't have spoken to him, right? It's like the Gemara says that every day there's a bas kol calling out from the heavens. So, but we don't hear it. So then what's the point of the bas kol? Because if you listen deep inside, if a person is really listening, he can hear the messages that God is trying to teach him. But you need to stop to listen. To listen to the messages and to really make space in your life to hear God's word. So similarly here, God was trying to reach out maybe to many people, but he reached out to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu bothered to look at that fire that would not get extinguished, and that's what made him Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? Now when's the next time which we encounter a fire, a big fire in this very same mountain? Fire by a mountain. That ring any bells?
A fire by a mountain?
You might not think of it, but when God gave us the Torah tells us, Bahar Sinai, Ashan Kulo Mibnei Asher Yarad Alav Hashem Ba'ed. Har Sinai. The very same mountain that Moshe Rabbeinu was on. That's why it's called Horeb. It's the exact same mountain. That's where it was. It was also on fire. Okay.
Where's Horeb?
Horeb is a mountain range.
Which
it says it in Pasuk Aleph of Shmos. Yeah? Horeb. Horeb.
It's source hay.
Yeah, source hay. Horeb. So it's the same exact place. Now, why would God do that? Why would God make place A have fire when God reveals himself to Moshe, and place B, when we give the whole Torah to the Jewish people, also has fire? What's the idea that the Torah is trying to convey by linking these two places? Of Moshe's first revelation, and now Moshe receiving the Torah for the whole Jewish people. So the answer is, I don't know, there's no answer. A lot of, that's the beauty of Torah. We think of all of our creative answers, but my answer is perhaps to teach us that when we receive the Torah, you're only going to be able to really receive the Torah to see the lessons that Hashem is sending you if you're looking for the little small details. If you're only looking for the huge revelations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss all those little messages that Hashem is trying to send to you. And so by linking the small miracle and the big miracle of Har Sinai, when we get the Torah, to this little miracle of a bush that nobody even noticed, the Torah is telling us that in order to really receive the Torah, we need to look for those little details. Yeah? I'll tell you a cute story. I don't know if it's a small miracle, but a big miracle. A few years back, about 11 years, 12 years ago, I was in Bar-Ilan University, and I was studying Tanakh, studying the Bible, and a lot of questions, a lot that we studied academically and not from the perspective of Hashem. And I was having emunah issues. Not that I, for a second, stopped believing in God or stopped davening or stopped keeping halacha, but it was getting to me. It was really like bothering me, all of this stuff, all these questions that I was...
Do you recommend other people to take that class?
No. But I did. Anyways, so one winter night, it was Shabbos, and I went to a friend of mine, Bar-Ilan. And it was a very early, like, winter Shabbos. And after the meal, I had a lot of free time. And I did something which I didn't normally usually do. I went to the Beis Medrash on a Friday night, and I started learning Gemara. And I've always loved learning Chumash. I love teaching Chumash. I haven't always loved learning Gemara as much. But I decided I wanted...
Gemara is so hard.
It's hard. It's fun when you do it right. But it is hard. So I pushed myself. I said, but I know that men were supposed to learn Gemara. I know it's hard. And if it's hard, that means that God wants me to do it. So I pushed myself. And that Friday night, I don't know if I've ever done it again, I sat in a corner in an empty Beis Medrash, and I learned Gemara, the fourth parak of Brachos. And I learned on my own for, I don't know, a half hour, an hour. And the topic which I was learning about was whether Mariv is optional. Is Mariv a Rishus, or is Mariv, you know, obligatory? And, I don't know, about a half hour into my learning, a random guy showed up. He's on that side of the room. I'm on the other side. We have nothing to do with each other. And another guy shows up, and they start having a chavrusa. And the first guy goes to the other guy, and I'm just listening in. And he says, by the way, is Mariv optional?
No way.
And I'm like, what? And they begin attending that. I'm like, actually, it's a machlokas between Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Akiva and Brochus da Chavtes and Mabes. And they're like jaw drop. They're like, who is this guy? And like, the best part, I didn't even tell them. And I just left. But then I was thinking about it afterwards, and I'm like, that was Hashem. That was Hashem telling me, like, I see you're trying your best, you're trying to learn Torah, I know you have emunah issues, but like, I'm here. You know, I'm here for you. I'm watching every little action you do. When you push yourself to learn a little 5 minutes extra Torah, like, I see that. And, you know, I've seen in my life, thank God, many, many times when I've had that experience. But I don't think if I was not in a headspace of looking for the miracle, I would have noticed it. If I was, you know, sometimes people are just like, I don't care, I hate God, and they're angry, and they're not looking to see the small messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to send them.
I always get those little moments where I'm like, oh, what I asked for is, like, happening right now. Because, like, I'll, like, be in a federal, and I'll be like, God, like, please make this happen in this scenario.
We were
home. And then I'll go into my life, and, like, the next week I'll be like, wait, that's exactly what I wanted.
Exactly.
And now it's happening.
And that's why it's so wonderful when you do self-reflection and, like, actually, and you're in the attitude looking to see the miracles, you
yeah.
see the miracles. But if you're not in the headspace of looking for it, they come, they go, you say, okay,
yeah,
that happened, but then something bad happened, they equal each other out.
It just takes time. Like, miracles aren't necessary.
It takes time and it takes desire to see it.
Yeah.
Because if you're not looking to see it, you're going to miss it.
Do you know Miriam? Do you have her as a student?
Miriam.
Sure. Miriam, sure.
Okay.
I got over it. She went to Manicharian one day, and she was in Manny's, and someone called her name, like, someone was like, Miriam, and then this random girl goes, wait, your name is Miriam? She's like, yeah, and she goes, oh, I have this Shema Lamita book, and it says Miriam on it, and
it was like personal.
I have no one to give it to, but it's Ashkenaz, and I'm Sephardi, so, like, she's like,
yeah.
So I can't use it, and, like, meanwhile, like, Miriami, her name's Miriam. She's been, like, trying really hard to remember to say, like, Shema Lamita, and, like,
Like she's struggling and she like saw it on the shelf and she's like, should I get it? It's fine, I'll get it another time, whatever. And she's like, after walking out, her friend called her from inside the store, was like, Miriam. And then she's like, your name's Miriam? And she's like, here's your spiritual pizza, I can't use it. And she's like, okay, I'm gonna say Kira.
And then she said you have to say it every day.
Amazing. Amazing. So I'll tell you, for you know, for the practical thing, there's a book called Small Miracles. Have any of you guys read that book, Small Miracles? Well, I used to be that counselor that would hop along at the end of the night to all the bunks, and I would read them Small Miracles every night for their night, you know, bedtime story. Nobody likes learning during learning groups, but everyone loves bedtime stories. And I love these Small Miracles. It's a great book by Yehuda Halberstam. These types of Hashgacha brought the story that I'm telling you guys. And that summer when I was doing all those Small Miracles, I saw more miracles in my life than ever before.
I'm reading Small Miracles for
women. There we go. So a miracle that you're, that I spoke about it. And seriously, when you talk about it, when you think about it, these things happen. When you're opening yourself up to it, then these small little miracles do happen. But you have to be looking for it, okay? My time is short, so I'm gonna, you know, race through another 7 minutes, and then I want to give us the practical homework, okay? That's the most important part.
I wasn't sure if you were supposed to write in the chat, but I wrote what I wrote before.
You are supposed to write in the chat.
Excellent.
Oh,
okay, but I wasn't sure because
it's
no
fine.
One was doing it.
You did great.
I did it.
You did
great.
Yeah,
one time.
Oh, wow. It's getting intense. Okay.
It's
getting heated. Yeah,
I wrote it down, though.
Good job to everyone who did it, and good job to everyone who did it. Okay. No, because I actually have to do it every time.
Okay, but I still want
stickers. Okay. Maybe in 2 weeks we'll bring stickers.
Ones, like,
I Hanukkah ones. That's
it.
Okay, so let me tell you. So here's the point. A few more things. So first off, there's a great Shaila. Everyone has to find the following Shaila, Shulchan Aruch's question. Why are we celebrating 8 nights of Hanukkah? We should only celebrate 7 nights of Hanukkah, because the miracle was that the oil lasted 7 extra nights, but it had enough oil for one night. So why should we be celebrating that extra night? Right? So there are many answers. But the answer that I like, you've already heard, I heard that someone was teaching you this. I want to read it in the language of the Mar B'Chaim, of Avram Chaim Rib. He writes like this. The year was Tafshin Bet. I was on Chanukah. I was sitting and learning in the base medrash. And I spoke with this rabbi. Ramali Alz B'Shem of Simcha Zissel Mikal. He told me in the name of this famous rabbi. The answer to the base Yosef. Why did they make the miracle on the first night? On the first night of Hanukkah, that wasn't a miracle. Only the last 7 nights. Tirch of Simcha. Shehag gufa sheshemen bo'er b'dolek. Hare hu gamanes. The fact that oil burns and makes a fire, that is a miracle. V'chen amru, misham al Hashem v'yidlok, yamar l'chomet v'yidlok. The one who said that oil should light can also make vinegar light. God has to say, let there be computer, let there be light, let there be fire. And that's what we're celebrating on the first night of Hanukkah. The miracle that oil can somehow make fire. When I heard this, I was so happy. And I was really, really happy. So he's happy, and we're also happy. Because now we understand the meaning behind the oil, the meaning behind the fire of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not that the oil miracle is a bigger miracle than the war. The war is a more significant story, but the oil is a symbolical miracle. It symbolizes the fact that all of life is a miracle, and that our attitude has to be to look for those small miracles, those small gestures of love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that sheds light about those other miracles, like the war, that it wasn't just a coincidence, that it wasn't just Teva, that this was also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes? Now, have you guys heard of the hidden Chanukah in Vayikra, in the story of Vayikra?
No.
Okay, so I got to show you this, because this is super duper cool. But in order to really get your best out of it, I have to take us to Vayikra Chaf Gimel, okay? It's going to take 4 minutes, but it'll be worth it in the end. Vayikra Chaf Gimel discusses the holidays, Okay? Now, we're talking about the biblical holidays. So, which holidays would you not expect to be in the Torah?
Purim, Hanukkah,
Yom HaTzimut, right? Lag BaOmer, they're not going to be in there. What's going to be in there? Shani, Kippur, Pesach, okay.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, because that happened a long time ago.
Because they were in the Bible. And Purim and Hanukkah are in the Talmud. They didn't happen yet. So God's not going to tell us about it because they didn't happen, right? We'll see. All right. So, by the way, Hashem Moshe Lemor, God speaks saying, we're in chapter 18 of Yikra, chapter 23, I apologize. The Belaron, tell them about, what's the first holiday? Sorry. The Belaron, tell them, Elimod Hashem, these are the holidays. The first one he tells them about is Shabbos. Elimod Hashem. So what's the first holiday that God tells us about that we have to tell? Pesach. Now, can you guess what's going to be the next holiday that we're going to that the Torah is going to tell us about? Nope.
Shavuot.
Nope. Yes. Shavuot. And you should count 7 weeks, 49 days. Count the Omer. Usfartim lachem macharat Shabbat. Until on the 50th day, you offer 2 loaves of bread, what we nowadays call Shavuos.
Sfeinu Omer is in the Torah?
That's right. Chapter 23 of Yikra. In fact, there's a much bigger deal about Sfeinu Omer than there is about Shavuos itself, which is also a fascinating shir for another day. Anyways, Be'ezbar Hashem, the next one after Shavuos is... No, before Sukkot? You don't necessarily think of a holiday. Rosh Hashanah, Lechad Lachodesh Yelachem Shabbaton, Zichron Shrua, a day of blowing the shofar. Good. Next, V'dibar Hashem Moshe Leimor, Ach Basor Lachodesh, on the 10th day of Tishrei, what do we celebrate?
As a holiday.
What? As a day that we bring sacrifices. Which is in some ways a holiday. It is. It is a holiday. In a different type of way. What's the 10th day of Tishrei?
Yom Kippur.
Good. Next, what's after Yom Kippur? And the chapter ends. We've done all of the biblical holidays. And that's it, right?
Wait, what about the fast in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur?
But we'll talk about it when we get closer to that date. But, watch this. The very next chapter. We think we're done with the holidays. Next chapter, watch what the Torah says. V'yidbar Hashem Moshe Lemor, Tzav b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu alecha, shemen zayit zach katit lama'or la'alot ner tamid. You have a mitzvah to light the menorah with this olive oil. Seemingly, it has nothing to do with the holidays. It's just a separate mitzvah to light the menorah. But if you're looking for the small miracles, the small messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you think this, the very next law after the holidays is alluding to?
Hanukkah.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. It's a hidden allusion to Hanukkah right after all of the holidays, exactly the time period that it's supposed to appear, which perfectly aligns with what we're saying today, which is that you got to look for the small miracles. If you look for it, that's what Hanukkah is teaching us, that if you look for it, you'll find it, but if you're not looking for it, then you won't. I end with one of my favorite stories about the Malbim. The Malbim wakes up his kids one day. It's four in the morning. And he says, kids, come. Why? Dad, what's wrong? And he says, listen, and you got to just trust me. It's going to blow your mind. And he brings them outside and he shows them a sunrise. And he says, Gevalt, it's a miracle. It's a new day. And the kids are like, dude, we hate you. No. And the Malbim was trying to teach them that all of life is a miracle. And that we can't take it for granted. And it's a very cute, trite thing to say. But it's mamish, the mission of our lives to really constantly remind ourselves that all of our life is a miracle and to be wowed by the simple things. And that brings us back full circle to the first topic which we began with, which is Mode Ani Lefanecha. The goal of a Jew is to be grateful. My mission is to be wowed by the small little things. By the fact that I can walk and that I have a computer and that I can take a scooter and that I can eat Doritos. Anything. Any random thing is an excuse to be wowed and blown away if we just open up our eyes and say, wow, it's a miracle. I have no real understanding or explanation that I can speak words and you can hear it and we're communicating. But I'm just used to it. But it's a miracle. And that's, I think, the, what I was hoping would be the mission for the, it's actually the next 2 weeks, because we're missing each other, perfect for Hanukkah time. Every day when you say Moda Ani, remind yourself that my mission today is to be grateful, is to be thankful, and to look for small, regular, normal things, and try to make that somehow a wow moment.
So nice.
Yeah, makes sense? Okay.
Yeah,
yes, so cool. Question?
Why are olive branches and what's so special about olives and olive branches?
Like, why specifically olives?
Like, the same way with, like, Noah's story,
mm-hmm.
The dove when it got
right.
Olive branches, why?
Why specifically olives symbolizing the miracles?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I want to think more about it, about what is it unique. I know olives has to do with the prophecy of Zechariah, which is also alluded to the Spirit of God, and olives create oil and fire, but there's got to be something deeper than that. Why did God create specifically through oil, lights and fire and the candle? So
yeah.
There's definitely something deeper. I want to think more about it. And maybe you'll also come up with an answer and you could share it next time we meet. So you guys down with the mission? Again, the mission is every morning you're going to wake up and say Modani. Be'ezrat Hashem. We'll be talking more about Modani. But instead of just thinking, I'm going to thank you Hashem, or I don't know what you think about when you say Modani, you think my mission is to be wow. My mission is to be grateful. I'm looking for opportunities to be grateful to people, to be genuinely appreciative, and to be genuinely appreciative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you really want to maximize this right now, you can send an email to your mom, or dad, or brother, or anyone.
By email.
And just, or WhatsApp, whatever you prefer. And just say, I'm really appreciative that you...
My dad doesn't...
Whatever. Something genuine and real.
My dad does have WhatsApp, so we email each other, and after the end of every email, this email, whatever, claims confidentiality. Like, I can't.
That's so funny.
It's a lot worse.
Nice. Also, if you want another idea, something that helps me, read a miracle storybook. Read a small miracle. Or listen to a podcast. There's a great podcast which I listen to. It's called Jewish Stories to Inspire. Any guys ever heard of that?
No.
It's great. I really like it. It's just fun, inspiring miracle stories. And my friend does a podcast, also a YouTube video, Hasidic Stories, if you like that. I actually am kind of make a podcast sometimes when I get around
to it.
That's
so cool.
And also like miracle stories and teachings and stuff like that. So if you guys want, I can join you for that. And it helps me to, we all, this year, we've all heard it before. Don't take life for granted. Everything's a miracle. It's a nice idea. But if we don't remind ourselves of it, it's just, it's in our brain, but it's not in our heart. So we kind of need an everyday type of reminder that life is a miracle, or we've already forgotten. We know it intellectually, but we need to find ways to remind ourselves every single day.
Why don't you record your classes and put it on the podcast?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I put them on Y.U. Torah. Sometimes I put them on my different shirin that I send to my different Torah groups. Sometimes... Sometimes there's a lot of questions and answers. So it's like, if I had more time, my goal is every day to make a podcast and make a Torah video, and
that's so cool.
I send them out.
If you have like a really good class you want to do, then you can just ask us to, like, if we have a question, you just write it down and save it for the end.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be very nice to you, because my main thing is to be a teacher, and a teacher means that you guys can interact and ask questions.
Yes.
And you're not just here for... I don't like that.
The questions would still be...
You could, but I could. I'm sure some teachers do that, and that's totally fine. But I think it's also... Like, I know when I'm a student in a class and I have a question, I like asking. I don't like having to wait till the end of the class.
Yeah.
I want to kind of get it out. Obviously, sometimes everything has a rule, but I like... I think... Look, you nowadays, thank God, there's so many amazing Torah teachers. You don't need me. If you want a shiur, go on YouTube, on YU Torah. Like, there's a million shiurim that are much bigger talmidei chachamim and chachamot than me. But what's the whole idea of a shiur? That we can, we're giving off energy. You're feeling, you're asking, we're discussing, and hopefully we're holding each other accountable to grow. It's not just a speech. You can get a speech anywhere, but hopefully it's meant to really be, a give and take type of happen.
Do you think that, like, it's bad to, like, wait for inspiration? Like, do you think that, like, someone should just, like, do instead of waiting for inspiration? You know what I'm saying? Like,
obviously, that would be the best. Ideally, you're a doer.
It's like you're very into, like, inspiration. So, like.
Yeah, but I'm not always inspired, and sometimes you have to push yourself, even when you're not inspired. And you can't always, but. But I think one of the whole points of this class is to show ourselves that actions lead to thoughts and feelings. So, like, soon we're going to do a class about running. And the reason that's important to me is because you're being, or exercising, it doesn't have to specifically be running, but, like, you're showing your body that it doesn't control you. Your mind's, you don't just wake up in the morning and say, I'm in a bad mood. No, you do specific actions. And your mind will flow eventually. So by deciding every day to say Modani, and I'm going to be grateful, and I know because I do it. I mean, I practice before I get to this class. I do it on myself to see if it works. I actually start looking for gratefulness. I'm looking forward to my davening because I'm Modim the whole day. I'm looking at the opportunities to be grateful to my wife because I did this action in the morning called Modani with gratitude, or because I listened to that podcast. That action changes my brain and I start looking at the world. So I do believe you have to be active in pursuing inspiration and not just wait for the inspiration to come. Inspiration comes
in. Inspirational mindset.
Yeah.
We're grateful for you.
We're grateful Thanks.
For you. Oh, gee golly, I appreciate that. Oh, I'm grateful that you guys are grateful and I'm grateful for you too. So. And you're grateful for the great. That's the main thing that grateful. It never ends. It just ends. So congratulations. You guys had an amazing Hanukkah. It should be so awesome. If any of you happen to be in the robot during candlelighting time, you're very welcome to come for a candlelighting. And I bless you with the most miraculous Hanukkah ever. And maybe we'll see each other through podcast. And I'll see you guys.